Once again, it's such a pleasure to be with you to minister the Word of God. As Pastor Benjamin has already pointed out, Pastor Walker is in town, but he's ministering at another church, and I would like to thank him for the opportunity to minister the Word of God to you. We have been here learning about prayer. We had this series of prayer. Pastor Benjamin laid it down. Pastor Walker came and spoke. Sombo spoke on it last Sunday. And today we are coming to the close of the series. And I'm going to do the last part of the series. Please, I'm not going to repeat what others have been saying, or I'm not going to summarize what others have been saying. I'm also giving another side of it so that we add one piece, we add these pieces, one from the other, then we get a full picture. Amen. And so we are not done. Don't be here and say, it's the same thing we've been learning, you know. Ah, my God. Don't walk out. This is a different part of what we've been learning. But moreover, the Word of God, you will never exhaust it. Hallelujah. If you are spiritual enough, you will never exhaust the Word of God. And so today we will be looking at another part, another aspect of the same thing we've been talking about. May I ask all of us to stand, if you can, as we read the Word of God. We're going to read from the familiar scripture that we've been reading. Please stand with me to the book of John, chapter 15, verse 7. The Bible reads, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and nothing is going to hinder it from flowing through us, to take us to where you want us to be, and Father, to bless us in the way you want us to be blessed. Right now, may the Spirit of God anoint this word, that God, whoever is going to be in touch with this word, will never remain the same. But change is coming today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll just turn around, shake hands with somebody, and just say, we are too, you know, it's like, I know the weather is not, just shake around, shake your bodies. Don't allow, you know, don't allow the body to, you know, to weigh you down. And it's like, oh, what is he going to say? What is he going to preach? Hey, I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to do better than you are saying amen. So you better as well start, you know, jerking yourself and just moving and starting licking, allowing the body just to move and allow you to receive the word. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Today we're going to look at relationship, the way to go. Effective prayer, relationship, the way to go. That's the part that I'm going to bring to you today. Prayer is an expression of trust to God. It's our expression to the God we trust. So apart from being a two-way conversation with God, prayer is having an intimate fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Our prayer is a response to his invitation for us. Actually, prayer did not originate with man. Prayer originated with God. He's the one that has invited us to pray. And we're going to look from scripture that God has invited us to pray to him. And there is a reason God has invited us to pray. Our prayer is a response to that invitation. We pray because we believe that God will answer our prayer. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 1, he says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." So it is him inviting us, "Pray to me, or call to me, or ask me, and I will answer you. And so he's our Father, so much interested in us, and he's so much interested to be with us. He wants to have that fellowship with us. So a good relationship with God and with one another provides a platform for effective prayer. If you want to have an effective prayer, the place to start from is that a place of relationship. The song we sang, that he is a father, not only is a father, God is a good father. He's a good father who wants to have a relationship with us. And so when we pray, when we come before him, we are expressing that as a father. That there is a relationship. John Ortberg said, and I quote, "Prayer, more than any other single activity, is what places us in the flow of the Spirit. When we pray, hearts get convicted, sin gets confessed, believers get united, intentions get encouraged, people receive guidance, the church is strengthened, stubbornness gets melted, wills get surrendered, evil gets defeated, grace gets released, illness gets healed, sorrow gets comforted, faith is born, hope is grown, and love triumphs." That is prayer. That's the place we are standing today. And today, before this service ends, what we've just read will come to pass in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. If you came here limping, you're no longer going to walk from this place limping. If you came this place downtrodden, you came in this with the spirit of heaviness, you are going to leave this place not the same way you came. Because that's the essence of prayer. If prayer does not solve our problem, then it's not worth praying. If God is not in the business of answering prayer, then let's stop praying. We're talking about the effective prayer. And you know what? I can tell you that the basis of effective prayer is in the praying. We pray. If we just give you all the exegesis, we give you all the principles of prayer, we give you all these wonderful principles of prayer, and we do not pray, we have done nothing. We have to pray, because that's where things take place. Today, we're going to pray. In prayer, in the presence of God, we come closest to being our fully selves. Prayer is not energy draining exercise. I've seen some people, this coming month, I'm just coming from, a season of prayer and fasting. So I'm really exhausted. We've been doing the whole month, with no food, no eating. And it's been now I'm just out of it, I'm really worn out. I'm really tired. Hey, you starved yourself. Prayer is energy giving. Prayer is life giving. It does not drain energy from you. If you were praying and the energy has come out of you, you were doing the wrong thing. That's why Jesus Christ, in the multitude of people, Jesus Christ, in the midst of miracles taking place, he had to sneak out to go and pray. You know why? Because the prayer energizes you. Prayer gives you energy within you. Prayer ignites that fire within you. When you were praying and you come to the people, your face, Moses' face, radiated with light. So prayer is energy giving. Hallelujah. It is a sure way of bonding with the Father. From the scripture I've just read, 1 John chapter 15, verse 5. And Sombo explained this beautifully, illustrated this by taking that flower and removing a branch out of it. That's what it means. You stay in there. It is a relationship. God expects us to know him as our Father. He expects us to trust Him. Hence, He wants us to draw closer to Him, so we can not only know Him, but experience Him, even as we relate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we know God, we shall experience Him. Psalms 9, verse 9 to 10. Psalms 9, verses 9 to 10. The Bible reads, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in time of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." That is our God. He has invited us, and He is ready to be with us. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you alone. And the Bible says, those who seek His face, He will never forsake. Those who seek. How else do you seek the face of God other than in prayer? How else do you seek His face other than in prayer? When we seek His face, He's ready to be with us. He's ready to commune with us. He's ready to fellowship with us. I'm talking about relationship, the way to go in prayer. Relationship, a way to start from in our prayer. And this is what I'll be talking about this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus taught His disciples that if you abide in Me, My word abide in you. So, that way they could be rest assured of their prayer being answered. The word abide is to do with relationship. It means to continue in a state or place or to endure. It's to continue in that state. That's the word, to abide. So Jesus is using the word abide. What Jesus wants from us is that we will be willing to abide in Him. That we will be willing to live in Him. To be in intimate fellowship with Him. Being willing to abide in Jesus means that we have established a very good, intimate, personal relationship with Him. That's what it means to abide in Him. Is to be in that intimate fellowship with Him. There is this thing, Him in us and us in Him. I say, if you stay there, hallelujah, that's a place of assurance, and our prayers will be answered. And so when Jesus was asked to teach His disciples, we see in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 12, He was asked by His disciples, how come we've been praying? We pray just like you do. When we pray, answers are not coming. But when you pray, we see the answers happening. Teach us how to pray. And this is what He said. Pray like this. That's directional. You don't pray the way you want to pray because you feel like praying. You pray the way the Bible says you should pray. I said, pray like this. How? Like this. And He says, listen to the prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. So the prayer starts with our Father. He simply, Father, when you come to pray, Jesus Christ says, start like this. Our Father. Our Father. Start like this. Our Father. You see, Jesus did not teach His disciples to address God as our God, most high, most powerful, holy, mighty, and everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega, the omniscient, The one who gives and takes without explanation. Oh, you are the creator of all things. Before you things melt, you are the one that met Moses on the mountain. You are the God who cannot be comprehended in your ways. You know, he did not teach his people to approach God that way. Yes, true. Titles of God, some of these were mentioned maybe, or may sound. Jesus chose to address God simply as our Father. Our Father. He didn't even say my Father. He said our Father. You know what it means? His Father is the same as your Father. Amen. Our Father. Just come as our... How would you address him as our Father? How would you feel if your own son, your own child, come to you, kneeling down and begging, and says, my father, the husband of my mother. The most powerful and the fearful man in the house. The provider of all things at all times. Even my neighbors fear you because you are a great man. Now I come to you to tell you that my school shoes are worn out. Would you please replace them? And I thank you in advance for your charity. If your child came to you, like, how would you feel? Would you be proud and say, yeah. But you know what? This is the way sometimes we treat God. And Jesus Christ looked at that and said, rubbish. He is your Father. Come to him and say, Father. Hallelujah. We go into all this spiritual jargon to try to sound religious and spiritual. Not even spiritual. Religious jargon. Try to sound spiritual. And you know what? These are empty words. They will not take us anywhere. And God looks at us and says, either you don't know what you are doing, oh, you are just somebody else. And Jesus Christ said, come to him as a father. Our Father is in heaven. Father. Our Father. Glory be to God. God finds it difficult to answer prayers when there is no relationship. Hence, prayers that are pre-written on paper by other people are no more than just reading material. You may memorize other people's prayer as much as you want, regardless who wrote them. It will not move God. I've seen people moving around with pamphlets of prayers written, especially those that are written by people outside this country. We tend to respect them so much. I've heard people have gone to prayer sessions with those. Oh, they came from somewhere. So these are the ones we're going to use. I'm beginning to write. Some of them, I'm receiving them. Please don't send one to me on WhatsApp. Now I'm on Facebook. I don't want. Can I make myself clear? Please don't send one to me. The reason is I'm not going to read it. Why should I read somebody's prayer? I don't even know the kind of faith they had. I don't even know where they were basing it on. I come to him myself. I go to him as I am. I kneel before him as a father. I'm a father to him. I'm a son to him. He's my father. When I've got issues, I go and address him directly. Oh no, this one was written by a pope. It doesn't matter. They may write as much as you. Maybe it was their devotion. I have my own devotions. So I can write my own stuff when I'm with the Father. So a new convert who comes before him and just call him Father, help me, will do a greater job than you memorizing the whole of that pamphlet. You know why? Such prayers lack authenticity and they are void of effectiveness. They will never take you anywhere. I would encourage you to read the Bible and understand it. Then it's wasting time reading other people's prayer. Yes, we can. When we come together, we can pray together. But your prayer is not much more effective than mine. So if they wrote, thank God, maybe they had a devotion. But I can have my own devotion. We can share the word of God. We can pray together when we come like this. But to suggest that this prayer on pamphlet that was written by somebody is more powerful than the prayer that I can make before God, that is coming from the place of ignorance of who you are. And your knowledge of God. And Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians. That I pray that the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of and revelation. That you may know him better. The eyes of your heart, another translation say, so that the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling for the saints. That's what we should be dwelling. That's where we should be dwelling. I'm not doing things for the sake of doing. Hallelujah. The last part of the prayer. Glory be to God. The last part of the prayer from Matthew chapter 9 is about our earthly relationship. Jesus was teaching his disciples to consider our brothers and sisters in every aspect of our prayer. You can't only pray to God without considering those he loves. Our relationship, because our relationships or our relationship is dimensional. In Matthew chapter 6, 13 to 15, he says, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's the New Living Translation. Can you see the relationship, how God values the relationship? Can you see how Jesus values the relationship? And so our prayer can be hindered if we're not living in relationship. It can be hindered. Some of the things that can hinder our prayer is selfishness. Selfishness can hinder your relationship, your answers being answered, your prayers being said to God. James chapter 4 verse 3. Selfishness can hinder prayer. Improper attitudes towards other people. It can hinder our relationship. Things like pride. Things like unforgiving spirit. Things like unreconciled differences. Things like an improper view. Or treatment of our spouses. Actually, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, if you mistreat your wife, your prayers will be hindered. Those of you that are married, I don't know how it matters how you treat your wife. Oh no, I paid lobola. If you mistreat her, the Bible says your prayers will be hindered. Why? Because God values a relationship. If God says, if you mistreat your wife, your prayer will be hindered. And women say, it is only about men, but you know what? You mistreat your husband. You fall in the same category. There's some women now behave as if they're not even married. How they treat their husband, they don't care. But I want to let you know that you are also making your prayers be hindered. There is a relationship. Hallelujah. There's a relationship. Another area that can hinder our prayer is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 6. The tradition of man can hinder your prayer. What is effective prayer? Where is it based? Effective prayer must be word-based. That is word of God based. Because that's where faith stays. Faith stays in the Word of God. Because faith is only where the Word of God is known. Where the Word of God is known, there will be no faith. What is the other place where we need to base our prayers on? Your prayer must be Holy Spirit based. The other place, it must be relationship based. And so you see that there is power. When we properly connect, we properly come into relationship with other people. There is so much power in that. That's why in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, it says, if the two of you shall come together and you pray about whatever you agree on, the Lord shall do it for you. That's the power in fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1, we see the Pentecost today. The Bible says they were all together with one accord in one place. And what happened to them? The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why there was this fellowship in that place? I'll be talking about this word fellowship. I'll be explaining about this word fellowship in a moment. But you see, I want you to know that God values us to be in a place of fellowship. He values us to be in a place of relationship. Relationship with Him as a Father and relationship with one another. God cherishes that. God values that. And some people say, no, you know what? I pray in tongues. I'm a very good person. I give tithe. You know what? I've never sinned ever since I received the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's good. But are you in a relationship with God? If you are in a relationship with God, you can be in a relationship with those He loves. Relationship. The basis for our prayer. There is power in prayer. John Piper, I quote him, although I don't agree with everything that he said recently. He made a statement that I'm not in agreement with. But he made a statement and I quote him. Without personal communion with God in prayer, we will not really know Him, but to only know about Him. There is a thing, there is a difference. Knowing somebody and knowing about somebody, there is a difference there. And the only way we're going to know the Father is when we are in communion with Him, when we are in fellowship with Him. When we call Him Abba Father. The Bible says when you call Him Abba Father, the Spirit of God bears witness that indeed we are children of God. Children of God. Bear with Him. He's our Father. We have this fellowship. We have this communion. The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines the word fellowship as follows. A community of interest, activity, feeling or experience, and a community of equals or friends. That's the meaning of the word fellowship. The community of interest, a community of activity, feeling or experience, and a company of equals or friends. You know what that means? It is a place where we've got this common interest. That means what the Father values is what we value. What the Father is interested in is what we're interested in. Can I tell you some of the things the Father is interested in? He sent His only Son in John 3:16. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is our mission. You and I, our mission is that none of our relatives, none of the people should go to hell. What Father values. And that's why you and I can go out and preach the gospel. Never you be, you have been called at a time such as this one for a reason. You are not just to sit in these chairs. You are called to make a difference in this world. At the end of the day, when you retire from this life, or let me put it in a simpler way, when you die, a remembrance, a memorial must be held. What did you stand for? Some of you are so scared of that word death. Can I tell you the good news is that you're going to die one day. The only difference is that you will die at the right time. You will die after you have accomplished God's mission on earth. No sickness is going to take you prematurely. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You are going to die in your old age after every energy has been used for the glory of the kingdom of God. So you should not be afraid of dying. Hallelujah. What is the other place of interest, common interest with our Father? Healing is a common place of interest with our Father. It is His will that we get healed. And in 3 John verse 2, He said, I wish that you may be prosperous and be in health, just as your soul prospers. What is He telling us? He's telling us that Father is interested in our well-being. Father is interested in our health. Amen. You are here. If you came with a headache in Jesus' name, by the end of this service, it will disappear. Amen. Not only headache. If you're carrying things in your stomach, they will melt in Jesus' name. If you have been told that there are things in your head, in your brain, the Bible says whatsoever the Father did not plant in you shall be uprooted by its roots in Jesus' name. Oh no, the doctor said yes, but the truth says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Hallelujah. Yeah. Father is interested in us being healed. Are you interested in being healed? Yeah, that's a common ground. So when we come together, fellowship is a place. It's that common place where we come together. The place of echoes, where we express our feelings to our Father, and our Father expresses His feelings to us. Why? Because what the Father likes is what we like. What we believe in is from the Father. And so when we come together with the Father, it's not like He's from Mars and we are from somewhere from the moon and we cannot, our ideas cannot reconcile. No. What the Father likes is what you like. So fellowship. And when people say, where are you going? We're going for fellowship. Oh no, we had a fellowship. They don't even know the words. We like, especially the charismatic, we like playing with words. In biblical studies, there is such a thing as word study. When you're studying the word of God, you're studying the Bible, sometime take interest in studying the word. The understanding of one word will just open your understanding and change the whole thing in your life. But you know why? We want to read the Bible like a novel. Or if I can even finish this chapter in 5 minutes, I'll be done because I want to travel to Manda Hill. You will never get a revelation from it. And if you are not getting a revelation from the Bible, it becomes just like any other book. You know what? The writings kill, but the Spirit gives life. In here, what you see here is the voice. They're not just writings like any other that you write on your phone or anyway. Here, whenever you open this, apart from reading, you must be hearing the voice coming from here. Because this word is alive. It's not dead. It's a living word, capable of changing your situation, capable of turning the tables upside down. This word speaks. If you just read it just like any other book, you end up just considering it as a novel or a magazine. Mark the difference. That's not a magazine. That's not a novel. That's just the word of the living God. It is the word that created everything. So let there be, and it came to be. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, 23 and 24, say, whosoever shall say to this mountain, move and cast yourself in the sea, and do not doubt, but believe that the thing that he has spoken shall come to pass. He shall receive what he has said. So if you have got the power in your tongue to make things work, God has got the power in his voice to turn around situations. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He's a good God. He's a good. We've got a place of common interest. Prosperity is another place of interest. We just read 3 John verse 2. Peace and joy is what God wants us to have, and that's all we all want. Love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, for God is love. And so, that place of common interest is that God loves, and we respond to him by love. And so, it's a common place of interest. And so, when we're talking of fellowship, we're talking of a place of common interest with him and us. So, when we meet together with God, there are no strangers there. It's a place of equals. The Father and us are equal in those values. The Father and I and us are equals in those things. And so when we say Abba Father, the Spirit of God bears witness. And when we say Father, you know what? You know, I've been running up and down. With the weather that has changed, I've got this fever now. And you're telling to, we are in a place of echo. And Father, you know, from your word, you're saying in Isaiah, say, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. And so this fever should not stay in us. And Father, say, as you have said. As you have said, we are in a place of echo. Father, I'm so broke. And also my business hasn't been doing fine. And you know, according to 3 John, verse 2, Father, you have said that I need to prosper in what I do. Lord, I know this is my situation now. And Lord said, what have I said to you? I have blessed you with the blessings of Abraham. And so we are in this place of exchange with the Father. So fellowship is that place where we mingle with the Father. We say stuff, and he says stuff. And that's why Jesus Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Where do they hear the voice from? They say, it says, if any other person, they want to follow, because the voice is different. Where did they know the voice from? It is from the place of fellowship. When you go for your devotion, what has God been saying to you? Have you ever heard God speak to you? Oh, no, I've never heard. I have to travel to Nigeria so that they can. No. In Lusaka, you can hear God for yourself. In Jesus' name. Right where you are. You don't need to burn gas. You don't need to spend a lot of money. You can go to America if you want. Go there. There are a lot of beautiful things in America. But going there to hear God, you can hear him from here. But if we go for a conference, let's go for a conference. We are enriching ourselves. It's not that God cannot hear us. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Relationship. This is the attitude or mindset with which we should be approaching the throne of God. We should avoid coming before God like a fearful, guilty, inferior people, coming to a superior feature or a fearful creature called God. And we call this humility. That's not humility. It's something, it's lack of faith and lack of knowledge. And the Bible says, because of lack of knowledge, my people perish. So this is not humility. So, you know what? We should come to a place of fellowship with God. A place of echo. If God is not your friend, he's your foe. God is not your friend, then he's your enemy. If God is not your father, then he is a minister to you. Treat God as he is. He wants us to treat him. So let's look at the dimensions of relationship. We have three dimensions of relationship. We have the vertical relationship, and we've got the horizontal relationship, and we've got the central relationship. May I have that, the PowerPoint thing, diagram. That's exactly what I'm talking about. This is the way we relate with God. This is about relationship. There's a Father on top, or God on top, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We relate with him through love, faith, and obedience. Look at down there. We have others. Maybe we can say the first others here is your family, your spouse, and your children on one side here. The other side there is the rest of us. Those you call uncles, cousins, you call whatever, and your workmates, and your pastors, they are on the other side. But look in the middle. There is you and yourself. There. So if you don't know how to relate with yourself, you are making prayers that are being hindered. So we're going to look. Leave that diagram there. I can see some people taking pictures. Go ahead and do that. But I want to tell you that this is the way we relate with God. Any disruption on one arm affects the rest. Can you see what is happening there? We relate with one another. If my word abides in you, and you abide in me, can you see that? And then you see, if you don't forgive others, it's not God. You're not forgiving God. You're forgiving the people. Now, if forgiving others, not forgiving others is a big deal before God, how do we expect him to answer prayers if we are not loving other people? How? Let's look at the vertical relationship. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This God is a father to all of those that are born again. He is alive. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God is your Father. You are relating with him through that vertical thing. Hallelujah. He's your Father. He is alive. He has compassion. He is loving. He speaks and hears when we speak to him. He is ever present around us or around his children and ready to help us in time of need. He is our Father. We relate with him, our Father. He's not one of those that are made of wood or stones. You put them on the table or in the corner on the stool. They don't talk. You come in front of them, they can't even blink their eyes. You may put beads in there that look like they're blinking. That is fake. They are not saying anything to you. That is not the Father that we have. We've got a Father who is good according to the song and according to Scripture. He's a good Father. He's a good Father. He answers prayer. When we come before him, sometimes we've got the tendency of coming to God and behave as though God is like those that are made out of wood. He cannot speak or stones. It may be expensive stones. Who cares? You can even make him out of gold or diamond. I don't care. He's not a God. He's gold if you make him out of gold. But God is a Father. When we come to him, he speaks. He speaks. He hears. Hallelujah. He is alive, full of life, and he is the source of life. Not only does he give life, he is the sustainer of life. That's my God. And I like Apostle Paul. Is it in Philippians chapter 4, 19? And my God shall supply. My God is a God who supplies. He's a good God. He's a wonderful Father. Don't come to him as if he doesn't talk. You pile up words to him. From school fees to medical bills, from toothache to headaches, from our spouses to fire on our neighbors. We talk about all this and heaping everything to God. For 1 hour we are talking. We don't pause and listen. I want to tell you that he's interested in speaking to you. Pause and listen to what he's saying to you. He has got stuff. When we come to that place of common interest, Father has got stuff to give. He's got issues like this. I've blessed you with everlasting blessing. He has got ways like, you know, you are my child with whom I'm well pleased. He's got a voice like, you know, I've heard your prayers. He's got a voice like, you know, I will give you nations. He's got the voice. I've healed you. He's got a voice. Can I send you to Ethiopia? He's got a voice. Give the aircraft away for my business. He's got a voice. Send a missionary out. He's got a voice. God speaks to us. So when we come to him, it's a place of common interests. It's a place of equals. It's a place of fellowship, place of friendship. When we talk to him, we must be pausing a little bit and pay attention to what he's got to say. You know, sometimes when you come to God, come as you are. And sometimes we feel you can only come to God when we've got stuff, school uniform, medical bills and things like that. You know, sometimes comes to him just to say, thank you, Father. Sometimes just, thank you, God. Let's just say, Father, I worship you. Just come to say, Father, I love you. He loves that. Just address him and say stuff. You know why? Because it is a place of common interests where we meet with him. It's not just, oh, you know what, Father, you know what my neighbor did to me? I want his teeth to come out of his mouth. And you call it the dangerous prayer. It's not a dangerous prayer. That's a very naive statement you are making. It's got no effect at all. Because if people's teeth have been coming out, yes, I've seen people with front teeth missing. But it's not as a result of somebody who made that proclamation. Yes, we can proclaim things. Because the Bible says the power of, you know, there is power in the tongue. But you know what? If you speak, you use your tongue, you use it wisely. You're not cursing other people. You're not wishing bad stuff to happen to other people. That's not what we are commanded to do. We're winding up this thing quickly. I'm talking about a horizontal relationship with our Father. Let me say something here before we wind up this thing. Hallelujah. God has things he wants to tell you all the time. Come to him expecting. Hear from him. And he will do exactly what you want him to do. In Jeremiah chapter 33, I'm quoting it again. Jeremiah 33, 1. The Bible says, in the Message Bible, he says, call to me and I will answer. I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Can you see? It is a call by the Father. Actually, in the New Living Translation, that verse 3 says, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know. Can you see the goodness of coming to the Father? He tells you stuff that you've never learned, things you've never known before. So God is inviting us to come to a community of practice, a community of interests, activity, feelings, or experience, and the company of equals, of friends. It's a place of fellowship with him. Receive the revelation. That's the place you receive the revelation about God. That's why Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 up to 18, that I'm praying that God, the Father, for Lord Jesus Christ, may grant to you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation that you may know him better. And say the eyes of your understanding. That statement, eyes of your understanding, in the new translation, the New Living Translation puts it this way, that your eyes, your inner eyes, may be flooded with light. be flooded with light, that you may know the hope for which you have been called. And so, when we come to him, we are both his children and heirs, earmarked for his blessings. The next relationship dimension is horizontal. In Mark chapter 12, verse 31, it says, the second commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. So in the eyes of God, relationship is of great significance. In this category, we find the family that constitutes the family, the spouse and your children. We find relatives, friends, and visitors, and strangers. And this also, we find workmates. And the Bible says how we treat these is critical. And the other category is you and me. And sometimes we come before God as if we don't mean anything. And I'm just me, you know, God, I'm just like a worm, that you are a great God, you know. I'm just a sinner, you know. Hey, if you are still a sinner, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He died to set you free. You don't need to stay a sinner. Come. His arms are open to save you. You are not a sinner saved by grace. We even add saved by grace, as if we are doing the right thing. You are not a sinner. The Bible says if you are in Christ, you are a brand new person. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. What is new that has come? You have the righteousness of God in you. You've got the nature of God in you. And that's why when you come to that place of fellowship, he does not look at you as a sinner. He looks at you as an equal. You cannot be a sinner and a fellowship with God. Impossible. God and sin cannot mix. And that's why Jesus Christ on the cross, he was alone. He had to bear the sin of the world. So you're not a sinner. If you're still a sinner, I'll be making an altar call. In Jesus' name. What are we talking about? As we conclude, love yourself. God loves you. You are a child of God. You guys, the praise team, just come, step up here. There is an invitation, my brother and sister, for you to come to the place of fellowship. Come to the place of fellowship. Come to the place of common interest. Come to the place of healing. Come to the place of salvation. Come to the place of meeting with our God and our Father. Come to that place. You are invited to that place. You're not just an ordinary person. Come to that place. Oh yes, you guys. Come to the place. A common place. And the fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. He's a good Father. He's a good God. He cares for you. Jesus, let's sing that song together.
You're a good, good father. So you are.
that he's our Father and we are his children. But if you are here, you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that statement does not cover you. It excludes you. But the good news is that today, you can make him your Father. Today, you can be a child of God. You can be born of the Spirit of the living God today. If you're such a person, you are in our midst and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to the Lord right now. I want you to raise your hand wherever you are. I want to see it. If you are here and you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, say, I'm tired of just running away, searching for answers everywhere. But today, it's such a great news that God can be my Father today. That I can give my life to him. That I can be forgiven of all the sins. And that I can be a brand new person. Where you are, just raise your hand. He will never cast away those who seek his face. Is there anybody? Anybody to raise your hand? Jesus. Is that the hand I'm seeing at the back? Raise it high if it is a hand already. Yes. Just thank you for that hand. Who will join that one? Who will join that one there? Yes, I've seen that hand. Thank you for that hand. Any other? Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'd like to invite you. While the other one is in this mood of prayer, I would like to ask you, if there is any other or others, you didn't raise your hand, but you feel you need to come, just walk to the front here, just now. Yes, at the back, just walk quickly here. We want to just pray for other people as well. Is that the hand I'm seeing in a mother's, in a parent's room? Let's walk through here. Just carry your belongings and meet me here. Just now. Thank you. Yes, guys.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Jesus Christ came to earth to die for one single person, and you were the only one person he was going to die for. You, that's how precious you are in his eyes. I want to send, can you see Sister Elizabeth there? I want to send you to just go to her. She's going to take you to a room where she's going to pray with you, and then you're going to be helped from there. Now right here where we are, thank you. Our eyes closed. You're saying, I need prayer right where I am. There are issues in my life that need prayer. But God is saying, we are in a place of fellowship where he's got interest in your issues. Have you got an issue? Raise your hand wherever you are. Any issue? Thank you over here. Thank you over there. Thank you over there. Raise your hand. Put it up. Thank you. 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 So many hands. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray together. I may not know all the issues, but God knows your heart. God knows where you are. You are in the right place. A place of relationship. A place of fellowship. Where he wants to deal with your situation right now. I want you to talk to him, because you are expecting an answer from him right now. In Jesus' name, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for the Spirit moving in this place, touching each one of us, God. And those issues that have been presented to you right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, those that need filling with the Holy Spirit right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now. Right now. And those that are sick in their bodies, those that are in need of staff, in the name of Jesus, right now, Father, meet the need of your people. Everything that has been presented to you, Father, right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name. Thank you for meeting our needs, O God. Thank you. Thank you for being with us in this month. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen.